Hey.
7 o'clock.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, good evening, everybody. Welcome to Ask Kathleen. It's Sunday evening, January 15th, and we are celebrating Dr. Martin Luther King this month. And it is just, oh, wait, still got all kinds of, you all know I'm doing the board and I've got all kinds of technical difficulties going on here, but we'll work through it. So welcome to Ask Kathleen. I'm Kathleen Williams, your host, and we have another...
What is going on?
We're going to have a fabulous show here tonight. I have a fabulous host, a fabulous co-host with me. My sister, Veronica, is on the line, and she'll be doing Ronnie's Rave tonight, as usual. Welcome, Ronnie.
Oh, good evening. Happy Martin Luther King Memorial Weekend. How are you?
I'm doing great, thank you. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, wonderful. I'm watching the Giants play Green Bay. And have an easy going day. It's pretty good.
That's wonderful. Good. It's good to hear your voice, as usual.
You too. Wonderful.
And you, I was having some technical difficulties.
It's cold in New York.
It's freezing. It is freezing outside, I'm telling you. Everybody is having trouble getting their cars started today, and so I think they said it was about 17 degrees or so.
Yeah, it was amazing. When I woke up this morning, it was 18 degrees, and I felt every bit of it.
Yeah, and well, we're in New York, and I just thank God there's no snow. I'm happy about that. So it's still it's a great day. It's a great day.
Right. No snow.
So I just want to tell everybody about the programs that are coming up this week. Real quickly, tomorrow at the Worship Center for the Church of the Nazarene at 117 Madison Avenue from 2 to 5 p.m., the National Organization for Blacks in Law Enforcement are having their annual Dr. Martin Luther King celebration. And the keynote speaker is Dr. Patricia Gatling, she is a commissioner here in New York. And several people, one person from each borough, is going to be honored. And the honorees include Dr. Bob Lee for his he's got a foundation that works with children. So Dr. Bob Lee will be honored. And I am going to be the honoree from Queens, so I'm really excited about that. That's tomorrow between 2 and 5 p.m., and it's free and open to the public. Everybody can come. And coming up next week, Friday evening, at the Harvest Room in Jamaica, Queens, the Southeast Queens County Young Democrats is having their annual anniversary dinner, and they are honoring the unsung heroines of Southeast Queens, which is really cool. You know, that's really very nice of them to do an event like that. So these are young people getting into the political arena, and they've been doing a lot of studying with some politicians. They've been doing a lot of political work and really learning the ropes and the lay of the land in politics. So it's really cool. I'm excited about them. And they're honoring me also with the Dr. Maya Angelou Award. So that's really cool. And sis, I hope you can come out for both of those. Everybody there? So, anyway,
congratulations on your honor.
Thank you. Yeah, it's exciting. I'm excited about that. Yeah, it is. It's really awesome. And congratulations to all the other honorees and to these organizations that are doing all this great work. So I'm looking forward to participating in both. So we have some giveaways tonight. We have some prizes. We have some books that are going to be giving away. And we have a phenomenal guest, and he's here with us already. He's on the line. And he is a good friend of mine. I'm honored to know him. He has been, you know what, I'm going to let him tell the audience a lot about him, but He is the general manager of RDZ Media Group, and he'll tell us a lot about what that is. He has been an entrepreneur for many years. He has mastered this thing we call social media. He does training for many organizations. He's a speaker, a great speaker, and he's been so honorable to be our guest here tonight. So I know everybody's got a bunch of questions, so get your papers out and get your pens, and so you're ready to ask some questions and take some notes. And I'd like to welcome and invite onto the line right now Mr. Stephen Jackson of RDZ Media Group. Welcome to Ask Kathleen. Stephen, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on, and I want to welcome everyone who's watching the Giants game. for all
right.
Those who are taking time out from the game to be on this, I congratulate you. I mean, there's something really important going on.
That's right. And this is really important. This is very important. There's so many people, including myself, Stephen, as you know, of course. We see all of these mediums out there. We have social media. We've got Facebook. We've got Twitter. We've got LinkedIn. We have MySpace. We've got Ning. We've got you name it. A lot of others, Google Plus, and a lot of other things that I haven't even, you know, I won't even go through the list and call them all out. And people know that this has got to be the way that I promote my business. I should be able to use these things. Everybody else tells me I can, I should, I got to be on there. If I'm not on there, I'm not really promoting my business adequately. But there's a way to use it all to make it effective for you. And many times folks don't really know what that is. And I know you talk a lot about this, so we're really excited to have you here to talk to us tonight about social media. But before we go there, if you could just tell the folks who are already on the line, welcome everybody who's called in, and thank you for taking some time out Sunday evening to join us here on Ask Kathleen. So if you tell everybody a little bit about what it is that you do and a little bit about RDZ Media Group.
Well, the easiest thing I could probably describe is what RDZ Media Group is. We are a social mobile agency. So we produce creatives and production tools in the areas of mobile marketing, social media marketing, social media management, and mobile campaigns. And additionally, we also build apps for the tablet and mobile platforms as well. So that's the easiest thing to describe. I describe what I do. I do a little bit of a lot of things, a little bit of video editing, some social media management, a lot of mobile marketing. And I really just, if anyone look at my Twitter profile, that's what I really consider myself, an OG, original geek. I love technology. I'm one of those first adapters. I got to put my hands on it first. I got to play with it. I got to see what it can do. And then I look to see if there's any marketing ability components to it. Is there some way that we can make money with, or can our clients make money with it? So that's pretty much what I do on a day-to-day basis.
And you said original geek. I love that.
Yeah. Well, I think I've been playing with technology for so long. I mean, as a kid, I was the one who, you know, was always doing electrical experiments. I kind of blew out a lot of fuses in my buildings over the years. You know, so I just love taking stuff apart and putting it to see how it works and understand. That's how I was growing up. And some days it was good, many days it was challenging, especially when you have taken apart a radio and you can't get it back together. And you take apart the telephone, and you know your mother's waiting on the call, and here you got the telephone in about 23 different pieces. You know, so it's kind of like how my life kind of progressed.
That is funny. And you, Stephen, you have had computers since computers came out, right? You've been working on computers from forever.
I had some of the original Radio Shack kits, the Tandy TR-80, which is actually a kit computer that we put together. So I've really been around them for a long time. As soon as I think when the when the Apple desktop came out in 1980, I think my, you know, I was like, wow, yeah, now we're ready to go. But, you know, then the first Windows PCs, so, you know, I've had so many computers. Actually, I just build my own now. I don't even think about a brand name computer. I just, you know, I have my favorite computer stores I go to. I tell them what I want. You know, I'm on hard drives and cases and motherboards, and I just put them together. And recently, I had my granddaughter with me, and we built her computer together. So I want her to understand how all this works and comes together.
Wow, that's fabulous. Mm-hmm. So building computers, and so and that brings us to, you know, this next level, because we're just about everybody that I know anyway has a computer, and whether they're in front of their desktop, their laptop, or on their smartphone, they are engaged in social media, getting emails constantly. Definitely folks are on Facebook. Most people are on Twitter, and I wanted to talk to you about that too, because someone hacked my Twitter account and I just started really grooving with Twitter in the last, you know, month or so, really started tweeting a lot. But people are using social media, but not necessarily using it in such a way, and I learned this from you, using it in a way that does, one, doesn't waste a tremendous amount of their time, and two, actually maximizes the effectiveness of their business. And I know that's what you do and what you talk about. So I guess if we could maybe, first I just want to let you open it up, and then if we can talk a little bit about what aspects of social media we should be thinking about, you know, whether you're a neophyte to all this social media, or you're rather experienced and you really want to use it to start making some money, you know, if you could just open it up for people and give us the basics of what we should be doing, and then we could take it to the next level.
So, well, the first thing I always explain about social media is that it's a marketing tool set. It's one additional tool that fits in the marketing paradigm along with everything else that a company does. So it doesn't really replace your direct mail. It doesn't replace your email. It doesn't replace companies who are advertising on TV or on radio. It's not replacing it. It's enhancing the marketing. Same way when the internet came along in the early 1990s and websites started to grow, you know, television advertising did not decrease. We just now use television to promote people to go to the website. And that's what you're starting to see with social media. So when you really think about social media, you think about it as this gigantic word-of-mouth platform, right? And everybody who you want to talk to is in somewhere communicating somewhere, whether they're on Facebook, LinkedIn, and they all have different interests. So you're out there looking for people. If, say, you sold dog grooming products, so naturally, you want to find and talk to people who have dogs. So you want to go in areas where people are talking about their dogs. And if you have some content that could help them take better care of their dogs, you want to share that with them. Why? Because you want to show that you're an expert, that you're a caring person. And by sharing content and information, people begin to build a rapport and a trust with you. At the end of the day, you can drop little hints about what you do. And then when someone has a want, need, or desire for a dog grooming product, they remember you. Or someone recommends you to somebody else who may be looking for that product. And that's where social media strength really comes in. So it's not about what we call the outbound type of marketing, where you have a message that you're broadcasting to everyone and the majority of people may not be ready, may not be a prospect for your product or service. It's what we call inbound marketing, where you're talking to, you're putting content out there, you're listening for people who have a want, need, or desire, interest in what you have to market. And when they're ready to purchase, you can engage them because they're asking for recommendations from their network group of people. So that's basically how we break down what this whole social media thing is.
Wow. And people usually, sometimes I know I think about it the other way. And I'm so glad you said that it's not to replace what we've been doing all along in business, and, you know, picking up the telephone, sending out a letter or sending out an email, and that direct touch contact with folks. but just to enhance it. That's such an important statement. I'm glad you mentioned that. Tell me why you said it too.
Well, I said it because a lot of people have, you get these people make these type of predictions. And I remember when the internet first was growing, people was predicting that the internet was going to make people less social, and that really didn't happen. And people talk about social media making people less social, and it's going to be this automatic way to make money, and that's not really what it's all about. You know, those things don't happen. People buy from people they know, like, or could build a relationship or have been recommended. And social media really works when people are willing to recommend your product or service or be a brand ambassador for your product or service. The only way that's going to come is, you know, you're creating some sort of connection with them. So it's really about the ability to what we say is broken down to three major areas. We call it listening, conversing, and publishing. So that means you're listening to what people are saying. You converse with them. Remember, we're not broadcasting a message out to them. We're having a conversation with people. And then we're publishing relevant and helpful content that can assist them.
Okay, so this is a lot about sharing, giving people something so that they can become more familiar with you. So it's another way to network, let's say, without necessarily leaving your house or your phone. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Yes, it can help. It can help enhance that. So it allows you to network with larger groups of people than you could probably physically do if you didn't have so much time. I mean, how many networking events? If, you know, and here we are, let's say here in New York, there is basically a networking event every night of the week. You as a business owner can't attend them all, you know,
right.
But you can pick a few to attend, and the rest of the network, you can follow up with the people you meet and follow up with them through social media. You know, so when we talk about the follow up, you know, you meet someone, you know, you go back and you friend them on Facebook or LinkedIn, or you follow them on Twitter. Now you can extend the dialogue beyond just have that business card in your hand and really begin to create a relationship.
Right. And that's key too. That whole follow-up piece is just so essential. And we can come back to that in a second, but if you could break down for me the most important social media tools and how to use them.
Well, I think even before I get into tools, the one thing I would like to ask people to do is to really think about the strategy and their goals, because that really determines what tools someone uses. You know, a lot of people have, you know, once again, we read a lot of articles that say different sides on social media. Some people say they're profitable on social media. Some people say they're not profitable. Some people think social media is a waste of time. Some people don't. This really starts with what is your goal? And to say I want to use social media as a tool for my business. What do you want social media to accomplish? Now, if the only number one thing that you're thinking about is making money, you may find yourself at a disadvantage, because one of the key things about social media is its ability to make you profitable. You know, there's making money, and then there's also becoming profitable. So how do we talk about profitability? Well, if you can use social media to replace your help desk, right, and you're saving money, that increases profitability. If social media can replace a couple of other direct advertising channels that you're spending money on, you're still effective, that's saving money. If social media is enhancing your PR efforts, you know, we're not spending as much as you used to spend on public relations, and you're getting more press and you're getting wider coverage, that's profitability. So I always talk about the profitability of how you want to use these social media tools. And yes, sales is part of it, but it should not be the only focus of it. So always think about what is your goal, what do you want to accomplish on social media, and then from there you can build your strategy. And once you have a strategy and you know what your goals and outcomes are, then you can focus on the tools that you want to use, because each tool has different strengths and weaknesses.
Okay. So let's say, I guess so would it be easier if I give you kind of an example of an organization? We say we can kind of walk people through that, say what their strategy should be, and then what tools to use?
Sure.
Okay. So let's use somebody maybe in the fashion industry, you know, cosmetics and clothing and, you know, hairstyling or image styling, mm-hmm. consulting, that kind of thing. So some of
the let's use clothing for general. And there's, because okay. within the clothing industry, social media is having some unique effects into it. The way people shop today is so much differently than how they shop many years ago. So basically, you know, who thought that women would buy shoes online without first trying
right.
them on? You know,
right.
but now we have three major women websites that are internationally known for selling shoes online. Right, and they use social media to create those communities to consistently talk about what they do, right, how they do it, and, you know, what are some of the things you need to think about if you're going to purchase a shoe, you know, without first trying it on. I mean, because that's, you know, that's kind of like unheard of. You know, someone, you know, I used to sell women's shoes back when I was in college at Lord & Taylor, so everyone always wanted to put a shoe on. I don't think
right.
20 years ago we would have thought about, you know, purchasing shoes through the internet without first putting them on your feet. But now we do.
Right.
So you think about now, these same companies, what they have done is that they now also use social media, right, as they help desk. So when someone purchases a shoe and the merchandise doesn't come back correctly, they can respond on Facebook or on Twitter, right? And someone from the company is going to respond on Facebook or Twitter for them. Now, you say, well, why would I use Facebook or Twitter and not use a phone? Well, technically, it costs more money to man a phone help desk than it do by monitoring social media and replying online.
Wow.
Because you think about the equipment cost of the phone lines and everything else that you need to manage a phone-based help desk, you actually are you're saving more money by managing online. Cable companies have learned this. I know Cox is one. Anybody who has a problem with Cox, if they go online and mention it, somebody from Cox is responding to them. Best Buy is the same way. If you bought something from Best Buy, you go on Twitter and you say something, not, you know, you didn't like it, it didn't work out, someone from Best Buy is going to reach out to you on that social media channel and reply back to you. So they're looking at the first thing, they say, okay, we want to use this as our help desk. The second thing we want to do is that we want to reward those people who follow us on Facebook with exclusive deals. So now they give you a reason to become a fan of their Facebook page, because they say, we're going to give you guys deals that will not be released to the rest of the public. You're going to get it first. There's a reason to become a fan and follow us on Twitter. Get 15% discount on your first order or your 10th order. Check in through Foursquare, and you know, if you become mayor, you get another discount. You see, so they're finding ways to create additional customer interaction, right, to get consumers to take action where they say, here, we'll reward you, okay, but they, you know, the consumer think they're getting something special. We always want to feel that we're getting something special for our social media, you know, involvement, and that becomes one of the areas that this happens. What does it lead to? Yes, it do at some point in time start to lead to more sales. Because now you have a fan follower base that you can communicate, and when people are interested in your product, these people are becoming brand ambassadors. So they're saying, hey, guess what? Go to XYZ Shoe Company's website. They are really good in what they sell. And you take that recommendation, okay, I'm going to go there and check them out.
Right. And that's true. As a matter of fact, I use it and not even necessarily recognizing that this is the way to do that. So when they increase the followers, they offer the followers mm-hmm. special deals, and is that one of the ways that they are building up that relationship? What's the purpose of really getting so many followers?
Well, the purpose is not really, you always have to work on the purpose of getting, it's funny because I got a blog post that I'm actually just pinning on that, is it's not about the number of followers, is really about the number of brand ambassadors that you create, because as you create brand, and let me explain what I call a brand ambassador. To me, a brand ambassador is that individual who is your Twitter follow, your Twitter friend, your on your Facebook fan page, but that's that person who will talk great things about your product or service. They're the ones, if anyone mentions and say, hey, I'm looking for a shoe, they're going to tell you where to go get, you know, you need to go to this shoe website, you know. So that's what we talk about, brand ambassador. We want people to not just fan us, we want people to engage with us, to communicate with us and communicate with their network, because that is how we build that word of mouth. I had a study that's over a year old. I haven't seen the updated one, but we accept 90% of recommendations from people we know. But the cute part is that we also accept 70% of recommendations from people we don't know.
You know, I never really thought about that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's right. So even going online, I know I've done it. I've been online, and I see somebody recommending a website or a company or so forth, and I'll go right to the link and check it out.
Yes. I mean, I've bought services based on recommendations of my Twitter followers, and I only think I asked a question. Hey, I'm interested in this service. What have you used, and how has it worked? And people tell me their good experiences or their bad experiences, and you know, and you make a selection.
Go ahead.
And I say the only thing I know about these people is their you know, the stuff that they Twitter about. I haven't met this person. We haven't broke bread, or you know, we have a physical meeting face to face, but I'm taking their recommendations, and you know, from wherever they are in the country or the world, for that matter.
Right. So back to the clothing company. So you're, you know, expanding. You get people there now making purchases. So that takes you global, or as far as you are able to send your mailings out. If you just use the United States, or you're outside the country as well. So you're using the whether it's Facebook or Twitter and so forth, communicating with people that way, responding back to your customers. What else would be part of your strategy if you are a clothing company?
Blogging would be my first. Or blogging is the first part of the strategy, because like I said, the first thing we want to do is create content. And writing blogs, there's a number of studies that's already come out that show that companies who blog get more traffic to their website. Companies who blog, and the more often you blog, the higher your page rankings and the higher traffic that you can attract to your website. So there is a serious increase in the number in a company A who may blog once a month versus company B who may blog every other day. You know, so blogging is one of those things that you want to do, because you want to give people an inside look at your company. What's the philosophy? What's a day like at your company? What are your beliefs? What is your value system? And that's what blogging creates. It creates that one-to-one feel of who you are behind the scenes. You can express a little bit about how you feel about different things, how you may feel about certain manufacturing processes, or whatever it is. And blogging allows us to discuss those things, but it also allows us to create content. It allows us to share best practices. I wrote a blog post a couple of weeks ago, 12 business tips you should implement in 2012, and it's got a lot of traction behind it. You know, a lot of page views, a lot of organizations that shared it. I just talked about some of the things that I did last year that we felt was really good and successful, and I just wrote a quick, 12 tip blog, but it gave an insight into our company, to how we see things and how we do things.
That's incredible. And that's really important, too. That's another thing that happens for folks, is that you can learn so much online, just like you're saying. A lot of the information to grow businesses and what works, what doesn't work, is available online. So that's an important thing, too. And blogging, one of the things I really enjoyed, one of the tips that you gave me about blogging, because I was like, oh, my goodness, like, who can do all this stuff between tweeting, Facebooking, and all that? There's no time to blog. And one of the things that you explained to me was that a blog does not have to be a thesis. Can you talk about that?
Right. That's true. I think when we think about writing, we think about how articles, which is 800, 1,000 words or something like that. That doesn't have to be a blog. First of all, a blog doesn't even have to be written. You can record a blog from your phone right now. So you can make an audio blog, you can make a video blog, you can make a text blog. I've done a little bit of both at times, depending upon how I, you know, what's going on. And a blog always, like I said, doesn't always have to be a long written out. I sometimes do like to write, and I have to sometimes curb myself to write a little more concise at times. So I start to bullet point stuff around, you know. And by me bullet pointing stuff around, I could be very concise and keep the amount of writing that I do now. So I look to write sometimes no more than 600 words. Or sometimes I may set a 500-word limit. Or sometimes even maybe a 300-word limit. You know, let me say what I want to say in 300 words or less, right? Let people get what I'm, you know, the message I'm putting out there and move on. You know, but the thing is that blog, whatever you decide to do, one of the most important things to do is to blog consistently. If you're going to blog weekly, make certain you blog weekly so that people know when to expect your content. If you're going to blog, you know, daily or whatever, however you decide, be consistent with it, and also be consistent even with the time of day that you release your blogs.
Oh, really? What? Now, why is that?
Well, we found out, that once again, studies have been done and found out when is the most optimal time that people read content. And when it comes to blogging, most people read blogs between the hours of 6 and 10.
P.M.
So, A.M. Excuse me, I meant 6 to 10 A.M. So, it's
okay.
Basically most people reading blogs before they start their day at work. They may be on a train traveling or into work, and they're reading whatever it is, but they're reading. Most blogs, we find most blog traffic peaks between 6 a.m. and 10 a.m. in the mornings. And there's also certain days of the week when people are more likely to read a blog. And I can definitely tell you Monday is not one of them.
Right. Tuesday, from what I heard, Tuesday around between 9 and 10 a.m. is a good time.
Right. So that's right. So once you understand, like, optimum times, you can start to really put your content out there so it reaches the most people at that time. You get the most eyeballs. And, you know, like I said, you can start to inform people. Another thing that if you're writing blogs sometimes, if you write on a topic often enough, you could turn some of that topic into what we call a presentation, right? So now you can create a presentation or a white paper. We're very aggressive on white papers. We love them because we love to share data and knowledge. And basically, we're releasing a white paper every month. So what is a white paper? Technically, it is almost like a research paper we did in college. Okay, so, you know, in college we had to do a research paper, which meant that we had to look up, you know, cover some data, support a position, right, and show that how the data supports that position, and that's so, and basically, we're still doing the same thing, you know, and that's what a white paper is. But the thing about a white paper, once again, you are providing content, you're educating the people who want to know more about your business, and you are creating what we call that trust factor, because now people say, wow, these guys really know what they're doing. And, you know, we released a white paper last month, late last month. It was called Mobile Apps versus Mobile Websites, and we were comparing the two and what is the best situation to use one or the other. And once again, a very popular white paper. It is still getting downloads from our site. It allows us, and it's also, for us, it has been a prospecting tool because, questions have been asked. We've been answering. We've been engaging companies, and that is leading to sales. You know, so that's what I mean. When you are producing content, you are actually still prospecting.
Okay. As a matter of fact, I was reading that blog today, Mobile Apps versus Mobile Websites, and I'm going to come to that in a minute because I would love for you to talk about that. Because when people started getting into, you know, you need an app for this and an app for that, that was when, okay, over my pay grade, technology overload, help. I didn't know, like, what are we talking about with applications and how is an application even related to a mobile website? So, yeah. But so right now we're saying, okay, so with someone with a business, any kind of a business, one of the things they want to do is educate, sounds like. Educate, 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 and really then bring people into the fold so they have an idea of what you're doing, how you do it, and you're creating, you're setting yourself apart as an expert. Is that correct?
Right, because technically you want to do business with experts. You don't want to do business when you go to the doctor, you want to go to the best doctor. You don't want to go to the guy who graduated last in his class.
Right. Exactly.
We want to go to the doctor who got A's, not the one who got, you know, D's and incompletes.
Still graduate. That's right.
So if you got a lawyer representing you, you know, you want to make sure that he graduated, and you may even ask him, you know, how well did you graduate? You know, where were you at in your class? You know, were you up there or you just barely got by? Because once again, you know, you're entrusting people to be very proficient at what they do. We want the most proficient person. And you know, if you think about the academia world, remember there's this saying called publish or peril, publish or perish. Well, that's what is happening basically to businesses today. Publish content or perish as a business. Because if you're not out there proving that you're an expert at what you do, your competitors are.
And that's true. And whether they are experts or not, the people who are publishing and getting the most attention are the ones that are going to end up getting the business.
Right. Because there's something about publishing that people will assume that you are an expert. You know, if you think about talk shows, everyone who has appeared on a talk show has published a book. Every guest expert has a book. So they publish something. The good thing about the internet and social media is that you don't have to consistently publish books. You can publish white papers and blogs and still be seen as an expert.
Right. Okay. And then so you stringing the blogs together can give you a white paper. Stephen, how do you find the time to do all this stuff? Because with your company and all that you do as general manager of RDZ Media Group, you're still able to blog and write white papers and you tweet and you're on Facebook. And how do you find time for all this?
Well, first of all, is I use tools that a lot of my posts on social media is what we say is already been pre-programmed. Okay, so the first thing that I always tell people to do is that I probably spend on a daily basis not even a full hour in social media. I go on Twitter during my lunch hour and I'm responding or replying to things that's been sent to me throughout the morning. I may go on once in the evening, look at some other stuff. So I don't spend, but a lot of my content goes out automatically. A lot of my Facebook updates, all this stuff is being pre-programmed. I use Hootsuite and we use a couple other tools that is, you know, kind of built for what we want to do that gets our content out there at the best times when we know we're going to reach the influencers that we want to reach. Blogging, like I said, you know, I blog. My secret to blogging is I write more than one blog at a time. So as thoughts come to me, I jot them down. So the way we have tools today, I can write a blog from any device I'm on. I can use my cell phone right now and start to write a blog post in my blog, put my thoughts out there. I can revisit it later, add some more thoughts, you know, maybe do a little research, and then post it whenever it's done. And I can choose a day and time for it to go live. Same thing when I walk around my iPad, you know. So I have about 10 topics already sitting in the draft area of my blog. And as I finish them, you know, as thoughts and stuff come to me and I finish them, and I just time them out to be released. The thing with white papers is, once again, I have ideas. We already know what we want to – we already have our editorial calendar for the year and what we want to create white papers on. So it's not that difficult to pull together the research and to write. And like I said, to me, optimal white paper, you know, can be about 6 pages long. That mobile app one was an extremely long one, only because, you know, the back and forth. But the majority of our white papers is about 4 to 6 pages. You know, that's what we see as a good fit. I think the next one is coming out, which is going to be about using mobile and social for events. Maybe a little bit longer because we actually are going. We're going back from a white paper we wrote 2 years ago on social media for events. So we're going to be comparing the two, how it was in 2010 versus how it is in 2012.
Has it changed drastically over a two-year period?
Yes, it has. It has. Mm. I mean, first of all, mobile marketing fuels social media. You know, basically, just about every social media website is getting more than 50% of their traffic through mobile phones. So it has really shifted a lot how we communicate. The mobile phone is actually poised. Our smartphones is now our new computers and tablets. We're moving away from the desktop. We're getting much more smaller and portable. These are becoming the predominant and actually the dominant devices that we're using to access the internet. And they actually, I think, by the end of this year, there will probably be more searches done on mobile phones than there will be over the internet.
My goodness. That's something. And I see it every day. Sometimes I'm talking to somebody and, a question may come up, and if we can't, there was a time when you could sit down at a conversation with somebody and like, do you remember the name of that guy who, that guy that was, and it's within a second you see everybody pull out their phones and they're looking it up.
There was a time
I got it right here. There
was a time when we got in the car and we actually talked to one another. Now we get in cars and buses, they will pull out their devices and start using them,
I know it is really something, but so it's helpful and can be interruptive as well. But Stephen, I want to take a quick break, and then we have a couple of people on the line. I want to allow them a moment to ask some questions, but I do want to come back and then just say for folks that are basically, middle of the ground, they've got their business, it may be 1 or 2 years running, and they want to use social media as effectively as possible to increase their presence in the marketplace and to start making some money. So if we could just talk about that, if you could just give them concisely a few things that they should be doing to get started with from the beginning and work their way up, and then I'll open it up to some questions in a second. So we're just going to take a quick maybe not even a 2-minute break, and we'll be right back. Okay?
Yes.
Okay, great.
There are so many fun things we all can do to be healthier, no matter who you are or where you are. So let's move.
Well, here we go. We're getting set to get underway.
Let's stretch in the grass.
Great play.
Let's play tag.
What a play.
Let's jump up and down.
Oh, what a way to finish it.
And most of all, let's eat better so that we have the energy we need to play an hour a day every day.
Everyone can play. Just go to letsmove.gov to learn more.
The 99th came eyeball to eyeball in air-to-air combat with the German Luftwaffe.
Bombers would be here. We'd be above the bombers to provide sort of a net against the German planes coming down.
We said we'd better get a real name and identification so that the bombers and the Germans would know when we were on a mission. And it was decided jointly that we would paint the tails red, and we became known as the Red Tails.
When you buy a car, what are you really buying? A shiny coat of paint? A list of features? What about the strength of the steel? The integrity of its design? Or how it responds in extreme situations. The deeper you look, the more you see the real differences, and the more you understand what it means to own a Mercedes-Benz. The C-Class, the engineering of Mercedes-Benz, starting at $33,600.
You're white. Start out with a bright future. Then, over time, they become dull and begin to lose their luster. Because washing in the Bargain brand can leave dirt from the wash on your clothes, causing your whites to get dingy. New improved Tide Plus Bleach helps to remove the dirt in one wash to bring your whites back to bright. Turning whitish to wow. Tide Plus Bleach. Style is an option. Clean is not.
Applebee's 2 for 20 is back and fresher than ever.
So, Dave, you and the wife at separate tables now?
Honey, it's my 2 for 20 club night.
I think it's my 2 for 20 club night.
So grab your 2 for 20 club and savor inspired new favorites like tender chicken fettuccine carbonara and garden fresh bruschetta chicken. Or go for a classic like our 7-ounce half sirloin. That's one appetizer, two entrees, just $20.
Mom, Dad,
it's the freshest 2 for 20 yet, only at Applebee's. Now serving half-priced appetizers late night.
Welcome back. We're back with Mr. Steven Jackson of RDZ Media Group. He is the general manager of this fabulous company, and we are talking about social media and how to best and most effectively use it for your company and to promote what you are doing. So, Steven, we have a couple of people on the line. I just want to, Ronnie, first, I want you to ask whatever questions you have of Steven.
I do have a question, but he went so fast that I don't remember. He said there was a number of tools that he uses to get his blogs and I guess to drive the engine to his, how he is able to write a blog and get it out there at the right time. What tool was that that you used?
Well, it depends on how you want, like, WordPress. I use the WordPress platform, so if someone is using my blog stuff like that, I can't help them with that. I use WordPress. It's like one of the most popular and actually most well-functional blog platforms out there. And WordPress has these different tool sets. Like they have apps for Android, for the iPad, so I can, you know, connect to my blog at any, from both devices and start to write a post to my blog. They also have a little tool set that goes at the bottom of my browser called Scribe Wire, and it's a little browser plugin. I use Scribe.
Scribe
Wire.
Okay.
And yeah, so I use that, and it allows me to connect to my blog from the from my Firefox browser, and I can update my my blog post from there. But there's a bunch of different, if you just do like a quick Google search and look for, blog plugins and stuff, you'll find many different things. There's another company that makes something where you can actually phone in your blog, record a phone conversation and actually update your blog that way as well. For most of my social media marketing, it starts with Hootsuite, and that's Hootsuite. There's a free and paid version. It allows us to schedule a lot of our content, across our different platforms. We have different teams who use Hootsuite for our different clients. We all have different tasks that we manage and type of content that we post out. So we always start with that. We use Hootsuite exclusively, and there's some other tools that I use as well. Hootsuite is Hootsuite.
Okay. There's some kind of weird connection there. I there?
Yeah.
Yes,
okay.
I hear you.
And that Hootsuite can assist you with uploading at the same time to Facebook, Twitter, and your blog, right? So that you don't have to repeat the same thing in each
right.
media platform.
Correct. It could upload to a number of different social media platforms. So you can put one message, it goes out to everything at once. You can also schedule stuff, which is really important because, like I said, I may write some stuff at 12 o'clock at night for then just going out at 6, 7, 8 the next day, or even some things that we schedule some social media postings almost a month in advance based on the different events coming up and stuff.
Boy, he's busy.
Oh, that's a great idea.
I have one more question. How do you tweet?
The first thing you got to remember, Twitter is conversation. It is just like text messaging a bunch of friends. I mean, I think last night we had such a we was all watching The Fall of Tim Tebow. So we was, Twitter was alive.
It was alive, right?
Actually, it was actually funny because you know, the funny thing is that I can watch my Twitter stream. I don't have to watch a game. I know what's going on, what the score is, because so many people are really commenting and just sharing so much information that you could actually watch events unfold and not even have to watch the actual event. I knew what was happening with the Miss America pageant, and I wasn't even watching it, you know. But just I was able to keep up with it just by following the Twitter stream, you know.
But the Twitter stream means that you have to connect with people that you know as well.
Well, yeah, it sounds like you follow people and people follow you. So, you know, I follow a bunch of people. Some I do know personally, and some are business associates. There are a lot of people who I follow who I haven't met. I never met Roland Martin, but I follow his tweet streams. I find he's a Houston, Texas fan, so I was really having fun with him today. You know, there's a D.O. Hughley. You know, I follow him. He's hilarious on Twitter at times. Reverend Run, you know, he always is putting up inspirational tweets, you know. And so there's a lot of celebrities who tweet good stuff. There's a lot of other marketing and video experts, whatever type of expert or, you know, journalist or whoever you want to follow, you can find on Twitter. But there's some good things. There's some secrets about Twitter that a lot of people may not realize.
How do you understand the Twitterese? That's what I mean. Like, it used to be a language. Now it's a totally... You know, it's a totally eclectic language that you have to understand. Hash marks and this and that. It's like,
marks is just a way for us to follow a conversation. It's just like if you were to put a hash mark in front of Tim Tebow, you would be able to follow everything that people said about Tim Tebow over the last several days. The same, so we use hash marks as a way of identifying how to follow a subject. Give you a case in point. Say you're producing an event and you put a hash mark around your event so everyone who's going to be associated with your event, your speaker, everyone else, can tweet about it using that hash mark, and any of us can follow what is being said about that event just by pulling up the search for the hash mark. And see, that's one of the things that Twitter is very strong at. Is Twitter is one of the most powerful tools for finding people who are ready to buy or purchase your product or service. And I just give an example. A couple of years, and this was even 2 years ago, I was looking at webinar platforms. I asked a tweet, I tweeted a question, who's using the webinar platform? And I got like 5 direct messages in less than a minute from webinar companies who was ready to show me,
wow,
you know, come to my website, test drive my product or service. So Twitter is very strong for inbound marketing. Twitter is very strong for those looking for a job. A lot of job posts are placed on Twitter. Twitter is very strong for public relations. A lot of journalists use Twitter, and when they're looking for, if they need an expert to get a story done, they will tweet about it, you know. So if you're following certain journalists who covers your industry, you may have an opportunity to be interviewed just if they are looking for a story. They got a story idea and they need an expert or something like that to provide some information.
Wow.
So that's something that I said. But Twitter is all about conversation. It's like everything else in social media. It's about having that conversation. I go online. I post stuff, but there are people who I converse with regularly. You know, we talk about, you know, different topics of the day, interesting, you know, information. People share information. I thank them for sharing it with me. You know, I wanted to know about steam mops, and someone had just purchased a steam mop. And I asked her, how is it? You know, I have wood floors. It's something I was considering. She says she loves it. I'm like, okay, let me know the model. And I got this over Twitter once again. Word of mouth recommendation.
Oh, they're awesome, too. They're really good. Get them at IKEA.
Is that word of mouth
recommendation? Where do we find you on Twitter?
I have a very unique Twitter name. It's Road Dogs. It is R-O-A-D-D-O-G-G-Z. So that's my Twitter handle on Twitter.
Okay, maybe if I follow you on Twitter, I'll try to understand some of the lingo. I gave up when I started out following Ashton Kutcher. I don't know how many years ago that was, and I just couldn't keep up with the language.
You go to a website called twitterworlds.net, and I have a PDF book on there, very simple language of how to use Twitter.
Thank you.
That was that was to tell everybody that again, Stephen, because I did want everybody to know that they had this opportunity to make that download from your website.
Yes.
So tell them one more time.
It's twitterworlds.net, and that's plural, twitterworlds with an S, .net. I wrote a book over a year ago on how to use Twitter, a very simple guide on how to set up your Twitter account, best practices for using Twitter, topics and subjects to tweet about, some of the tools on how to find some of the right people to tweet with, things like that. I actually probably in June I'll start writing an update to that because Twitter has changed. Some things with Twitter has changed over the years, and Twitter is making some new changes as well. But the book is still very good for someone who really wants
Excellent.
To get to understand how to use a tool.
Mm-hmm. Excellent book. That's actually how I learned how to use Twitter with Stephen's book and also with Sean coaching me. Because, you know, find a young person and they'll be able to teach you. Stephen, can you talk a little bit about some of the things that you should not tweet or put on your Facebook page?
Anything you don't want anyone to know, don't tweet about it. That's just plain and simple. Don't tweet about. Definitely don't tweet about you where you at on vacation.
Right.
That's like number one. If anyone contacts you and tell you that they need your personal information from you, don't do that. Don't tweet about that. The one thing I find people tweet about that I find interesting is some people will tweet about their day at work. And I never forget this one young lady was tweeting about how horrible her boss is. I asked her a question. I said, "Are you certain your boss is not on Twitter following
exactly.
you?"
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. That's what I heard on the news the other day.
Yeah, social media is for the internet is forever. It was designed not to erase or lose any content. So anything you put out there will be found, can and will be found. So if you anything you don't want someone to know, definitely don't put it on social media, period. You know, so I'm, you know, if I'm angry with someone, you know, that's something you have with that person face-to-face. I'm not going to get on Twitter and blast them out on other stuff because other people is reading that, and that may discourage them from doing business with me. So at the end of the day, I want to do some business with people. So I'm not going to go out there and call my, you know, my client a jerk or anything like that on Twitter.
Right.
Even in a private
message.
Right. Not even a private message. No. Right. Not even in an email. That's a face-to-face conversation. But I wouldn't even put that in the email writing.
Exactly.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And the things that you put out there, I was glad you said that too, Stephen. The things that you put out there, even if you put something in a website and you take it down, or you put something up and you take it down, it still can be found online.
Yes, I mean, they're forensic scientists, and that's all they do. Their job is, whenever there's a lawsuit between corporations, their job is to go through the email trail and the social media trail, and they're going to find it.
Yep.
You know, just because you delete it off your computer doesn't mean it's gone from the hard drive or the servers, you know.
That's right. Well, I want to invite Sharon onto the call to ask a question. Sharon, are you there? She might have us on mute. Sharon, if you unmute yourself, you can ask your question. There's a caller on the line from 0494. Your phone number ends in 0494, and I just wanted to invite you to the conversation so you can talk a little bit, and if you have a question that you would like us to answer. Nope, I don't hear them. So possibly they have us on mute. So anyway, the other thing I wanted to ask you about, Stephen, as well, is with spending too much time in the social media, because you also mentioned that you have it down to about an hour. And I know folks who are on Facebook, Twitter for sure all day long, but Facebook for hours and hours and hours at a time. So how can people gauge the amount of time they should spend and getting it down to a reasonable amount of time despite whatever business they have?
I would say this. too much time doing any one thing is unhealthy, period. I mean, especially if you're not focused on doing the tasks that make you money, like, you know, whatever your business is, if you're a pizza shop and your job's, if you make money by making pizzas and you're not making pizzas because you're on Facebook, that's a problem, you know.
Right.
So my whole thing is, you know, it's like I say, it goes back to the goals of what you want to accomplish. And the one thing is like if you run a help desk through social media, naturally you hire other people to manage that portion for you. So that's
right.
Not something that you yourself as you know would be so much concerned with. I tell anyone who is spending, you know, and if you're spending more than 3 hours, you know, 2 hours a day on social media, and you're not productive, you need to stop and slow down. Obviously, you're not getting accomplished whatever your goal is to do. You may be having a lot of conversations. You may think you're networked with a lot of people, but however, there's some other things that you should be doing. Remember, you know, this is a tool. It's a part of a marketing tool. You don't spend as much time, you know, on your newspapers and radio ads. Why are you spending this much time, especially if you're not creating any content? So if you're not blogging or creating white papers or creating PowerPoint presentations, you know, something like that to share with people, then what are you really doing out there on social media? Now, if you're a recruiter, that's a different story because social media is part of what you do now to find the right applicants. But if
right.
you are running a business, whatever type of business that you're running, and you're on more than 2 hours a day, and, you know, like I said, you really get paid for doing other tasks, find a shortcut way of auto-loading some of your content and create different type of conversations. I think what happens too often is that the conversations that most people have on social media is more personal than probably it is business,
mm-hmm.
you know. And you have to really think about that, you know, how do you want people to perceive you on social media? You know, we all want to reveal a personal side of us. That's all right. But I don't reveal the personal side that you need to know. And I must snap a picture of what I made for dinner tonight and share it on Facebook. No, I'm not going that far. I haven't. And I tell people who do that, if you don't invite me to dinner, I don't care what you thought. That's just my personal preference, you know. You know, you don't invite me to dinner, I don't really care to see the photo, you know. So we have, you know, we get this a little bit too much stuff on and social media, and a lot of it is more personal driven, more opinion driven than it is being how we help people. I really keep my postings more business related. I have a lot of personal opinions like everyone else, and I see stuff, and a lot of times I just keep it to myself. I'm not going to sit there and post about it because, once again, my opinion is going to be different from others. If it's related to a business topic, that's a difference. If it's related to someone's relationship, I'm going to keep it to myself, you know? So you're
right.
Not going to see me on. You're not going to see me posting on someone's personal relationship or anybody's personal relationship, for that matter. You're not going to see me posting on what I have for dinner. You know, I am on social media to assist, right, the people who I interact with, improve their lives, improve their business. That's how we do business with other people.
Great. So if you could tell us real quickly some of the differences, the different ways that you can use the most common or the most popular social media venues, which is the LinkedIn versus Facebook versus Twitter versus, you know, your blog.
The blog is the standard. Everyone should be blogging. If you're in business, you should be blogging. If you own a business, you should be blogging. How do we know you're expert at what you do if you're not going to publish it? That's what it all comes down to. If you can publish your thoughts, if the same thing with doctors, with other academia, they publish papers. Okay, so we're now gotten to this point where we expect all business owners who are knowledgeable about their business to be able to publish content about their business. So it really starts with your blog. If you're in the B2C industry, that means that you're selling to consumers, you may want to look at the platforms like the major platforms being Facebook, Twitter. But remember that there are also other platforms, more niche-related social media platforms that we can also look at. So Yes, Facebook is the biggest one. They may make a billion fans, but you got to remember, if you only do business here in the U.S., over 60% of most Facebook users are from overseas. Okay, so there's only 300 and some odd million households in the U.S. That means that the majority of Facebook traffic is actually coming from outside of the United States. So you have to determine how much of a market that is for you in the U.S. to use Facebook as your target if you're B2C. Also, like I said, there are other smaller niche social media sites that, you know, just engage certain demographics. You know, so there are social media sites for just teachers, where teachers communicate. So if you are selling a product that is appealing to, that is marketed to teachers, you may want to look at that smaller social media site to get involved in, as well as being on the larger Facebook or on Twitter. You know, if you are on Twitter, you want to follow teachers and other educators, you know, and get them to follow you so that you can share content with them and have those conversations that can lead to you, you know, people learning more about what it is that you do in a product or service that you're offering. If you're in the B2B space, that means you sell primarily business, I say you should definitely be on LinkedIn. LinkedIn was created for business owners. Facebook was created more as college kids, you know, keeping in touch with one another. It was really built more as a younger social media audience. LinkedIn was designed for business to business. And you have the ability to, A, create a business page on Facebook, on LinkedIn, as well as your LinkedIn profile. You can even create a LinkedIn group that relates to your industry or your topic. And I would suggest those who agree, you know, have a lot to say, to create all three, you know, in LinkedIn. Because once again, this shows a series of expertise. On LinkedIn, people can recommend you, and we can get to see right away just how efficient, how proficient you are in what you do, because we look at the recommendations. And regards, unlike, you know, some other platforms, we can just ask a bunch of strangers to give you recommendations. This is not the case on LinkedIn. Those recommendations really need to come from your network of people. Remember, LinkedIn only allows you to connect with people who you have a connection with, unlike Facebook, where, you know, someone who knows someone who knows someone can friend you, you know. So we all here got, you know, I don't think over 3,000 Facebook friends. I tell anyone, if I know 100, I'm doing good. The other 3,000 plus, I have no clue who you are. I'm really, you know, haven't seen, you know, just really being honest about it, you know.
Right.
But there's about 100 or so people I have actually met from time to time, you know, physically, face to face. Other 3,000, no. LinkedIn is not that way. And that's the good part about from a B2B, because it's very important, once again, to build that trust, to understand how B2B business is done. And so I always suggest using LinkedIn. There are some independent name groups. If anyone knows Ning is this little, it's almost like the Facebook of creating independent social media sites. So you may find some interesting name groups where you may want to communicate and share and content and begin those discussions and create those relationships. I also tell people, don't forget Meetup. Meetup.com, which is really good for finding people once again. And actually, these are people who get together face-to-face from time to time. So, you know, you get the opportunity to get into a room with them, you know. So that may be part of your strategy, to use Meetup to find, you know, those groups you want to join that you may have the opportunity to generate prospects and eventually sales from, or even to find, you know, good collaborators or other people who you may need to help you fill, you know, vacancies within your own company. Yeah. So these are all the different things that can be used. These are some of the different tools that can be used. I also say, when it comes, one of my favorite tools a lot of people may not talk about a lot is SlideShare.net. SlideShare, whatever you want to learn about any topic, I always say go there first. There is a presentation on anything. If you want, if you want to learn about dog racing, I'm quite sure there's presentations on dog racing, you know. But it is used, it is a large repository of content, white papers and presentations. And you know, my presentations that I do, I share them on SlideShare, and I look at others and learn from them. And, you know, people learn from me. So this is how it works out altogether. So I always tell people, don't, you know, take a look at SlideShare. Think about sharing content there. We also now have Google Plus, which is starting to grow.
Right.
You know, as well, you can create a business page on Google Plus. And I tell people, you know, sometimes it may, you may want to get in first on Google Plus and build your area of the world, and you know, get your little niche growing and grow it that way. You know, always that way you may stand out a little bit more than being, you know, one of the, you know, 200 plus same people doing the same thing on Facebook.
Right.
Another one
right.
that's growing, another one that's growing real fast is called Pinterest, and this is where people are sharing photos and actually creating the visual look and feel of how they want to interact in social media, and that is starting to grow as well.
What is that one? Pinterest, is that?
Pinterest, yes. So it's starting to take off. It started off late last year, and now it's starting to really you know, gain momentum. And there's also Tumblr, which is a great place to share content. I think Tumblr is for, you know, when we're looking for great content on specific topics, it's somewhere we go first, because this is what people recommend. So if someone read your white paper and they thought it was really good, they may recommend it on Tumblr, and this is how people find good content, and this is how they can get to know who you are.
Okay. Now, when you said Pinterest, is that P-E-N-T-R-U-S-T?
P-I-N.
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 Okay.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right, great. Pinterest. Wow. That's mm-hmm. That was a lot of good information, Stephen. That was a ton. That is a lot of really good information, and a lot to, you know, for people to digest and begin to apply to their own businesses, and you know, getting a good idea of how it can benefit you. So, would there be one thing that you'd recommend to somebody who's kind of, you know, basically using it but not really making a lot of money on it? Would that be? Would you just take them back to, if you know, if you had to start all over, so you could use it effectively for your business? Would you say blog more, you know? Tighten things up, what would you recommend?
Goals. I'll start with goals. We always start with a foundation. If we don't have a foundation in place, everything we do is going to crumble down around us. So the foundation would be, what are your goals? What are your outcomes? What is it you're focused on getting at the end of the day? Because that's going to determine the tools that can best suit you to get to those goals. Remember,
right.
Every one of those social media sites I said have their benefits, and they also have their minuses. You know, as well. So there's some things that they can really good to help you do, and there's some things that they're not going to be so good at. But you're not going to really be able to understand how it all works together if you do not have a specific set of goals. So I always say, if you've been involved in social media, it's really now, and you're not getting anywhere, it is time to start to write out your goals. What do you really want to accomplish? Right, and then look at your competitors who are doing well, large or small, and see what it is that they are doing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe emulate some of the things that they are doing, or add some of the things that you like to your toolkit. And, you know, when it comes to social media, God, there has to be several million pieces of information on how to do social media. I mean, every day I'm on Twitter, I see maybe a good 200, 300 posts on something related to social media and
mm-hmm.
on Twitter alone. So someone is producing some sort of content, blog, white paper, PowerPoint presentation, video. You just got to read.
Yeah.
You know, the content is out there. It's just reading some of it, picking up best practices from other people, and that's what we do. I mean, yes, I've been involved in social media since the 90s, since, you know, it was AOL and CompuServe and Prodigy, but I still read a lot. I still download other companies' white papers. I still digest, you know, I take an hour a day just to digest other content, you know, mm-hmm. and see if there's something in there that I can use in our strategy or in one of our clients' strategy. If you have a nonprofit, there's a whole different set of tools and strategies that you want to use for a nonprofit versus a B2B or a B2C.
Right, right. And you know what? We'll have to have you come back to talk about the whole apps thing, you know, everything that's going on with apps, and I know that's you do a lot of that right now. And the work that you did at Circle of Sisters, too, was really incredible. I know you did that 2 years in a row now with them, right? Or is it more than 2 years, probably?
No, it's 2 years in a row, and we actually have just expanded that app where they're going to be using it for all their events now. We're going to actually give them tablets with the app already on it, and they're going to just use it themselves.
Oh, that's fabulous. Oh, my goodness. So, yeah, so that's a whole other thing. So we want to get everybody up to speed with the products right now that are available to everybody and then start using applications to see how those work well for you and bringing all of this together so that everybody is able to set their goals, brand themselves adequately, and be able to accomplish what it is they want to accomplish based on their goals using social media. So, wow. If anybody has a question or would like to call in, the number is 909-265-9189. You're listening to Ask Kathleen, and my co-host is here with me, Ronnie Best. And we just had an incredible conversation with Mr. Stephen Jackson of RDZ Media Group. So, Stephen, thank you so much for being here with us tonight. I appreciate it. I was taking notes all this time. And got a lot of good stuff down here.
So recording the call, just play it back.
Yes, that's true. But somehow something works really good for me when I write. But yes, you're right. I'll be playing it back as well. So your website is rdzmedia.com, right?
Correct.
And that's where we can.
Facebook page has the same name as well.
rdzmedia.com. Okay, great. And then Twitter Worlds. Twitter Worlds is how everybody can get a hold of your book online. Twitter Worlds. Is it twitterworlds.com?
.net.
Twitterworlds.net to get a book that will teach you the basics about Twitter. So, and you can look out for a new book on Twitter from Stephen Jackson later on in this year, right?
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you so much again, Stephen, for being here. Ask Kathleen. I appreciate it, and we got to get you back to talk about the applications because we didn't have a chance to talk about that tonight.
True. Well, thank you. I was glad to be on, and actually it was pretty controllable as I watched the Giants win and actually kept focused.
That's awesome. That is awesome. I know Ronnie's probably watching, too.
Yeah, it was an exciting win.
Yes.
It was an exciting win.
Absolutely. All right, everybody, just hang in there for a second because we're going to go next to Ronnie's rave. We're going to take a real quick break, but we want to say thank you so much to Mr. Stephen Jackson, General Manager of RDZ Media Group, and you can find him online at rdzmedia.com. So, again, thanks to Mr. Stephen Jackson, yay, for being here with us on Ask Kathleen. You're welcome. And now we're going to go right into Ronnie's rave. Ronnie, when you hear this music, you know Ronnie is coming up, and she's got some great information to share with us. So, Ronnie, whenever you're ready.
I was really trying to get to understand what this whole issue is about, calling Michelle Obama an angry black woman. Did you hear about that?
All over the place. All over the place. I just think people just don't have anything else to talk about.
But it's so rude. And why is it that people have to continually be rude and abusive? I'll never get it.
I don't know. And especially to the first lady of the United States of America, Ms. Michelle Obama. She is not being mean to anybody.
Magnificent.
As far as I know.
She's done some of the most wonderful things, you know, for children. The things she's done with the military families is awesome. You know, helping the military families. Then I saw her on, is it Nickelodeon? Yes, she's on Nickelodeon.
iCarly.
Right, iCarly, and that looked like so much fun.
I missed it.
And she did.
And I watch iCarly too.
And so I kept hearing the story over and over, and I just said, I guess you have to let these things go. But what I want to know is, what is an angry black woman? I never did understand that. And a lot of women call each other that. And I just don't. And it may be because I haven't been in this area for long, so this has gone over my head. I don't understand the angry black woman term.
I don't know, but I remember I did write a blog about it a couple times. We did a show about it, and I know one thing for sure is when I'm driving down the street and somebody cuts me off and I'm ready to start screaming, I'm like, uh-oh, somebody might call me an angry let me not say anything. Go into the store, somebody cuts me off in the line, and I'm getting ready to turn around. I'm like, they're going to call me an angry black woman.
Oh, okay. Well, I totally get it now, because living in New York, you are angry.
Everybody's angry.
People are very impolite at times. You know, they are. I've had people step on me, push, you know, yell at you, scream, and so far I have not responded. So I guess I'm not an angry black woman.
I guess not.
I guess not. I haven't responded. There's been some times where I've actually, you know, wanted to put my fist in somebody's face. They've been, because they'll knock you over and look at you. Well, what didn't you expect to get knocked over? You came outside, you know, with that attitude.
That's right. You got on the train. What?
I know, really. I was driving with the Grand Central. And all of a sudden, I hear this horn just blaring behind me. And I hear screeching. Now, there's nobody in proximity of my car. So I'm, you know, I feel like, okay, I'm safe. I hear screeching, but I don't think they're going to hit me. And then I look up and I see this man, he's hanging out his window and finger in the air, and he curses, and I'm like, I was in my lane, I'm driving, what could I have done?
Was he calling you an angry black woman?
No. And he was yelling and cursing and screaming to the top of his lungs, and I'm like, what did I missed it. I totally missed it. Whatever I did, sir. I'm so sorry. You know, like, I came out on the road. That's what I did. That had to
you
be
came
it.
Came outside.
Jeez. So, yeah, that's Michelle. You know, back to Michelle. It's they say that she's mean to the staff members, and she's just, you know, she has views that don't, I guess, that go against the policies that they have in the White House, and the fact that there's things that you can and can't do in the White House. And I'm sure they can I say they better be glad it wasn't me in the White House.
They better be glad that it wasn't you in the White House.
I really, you know, after the gentleman gave us such a fabulous, you know, enlightenment into the social network, I am going to blog about how lucky you Americans are that I am not in a White House, because I would be driving a Mercedes Benz with convertible. I don't know if they'd allow me to
have a convertible. Oh my gosh.
Okay.
Oh my goodness.
That's it for me for the week. I'd be so Nancy Reagan, I'm telling you. You remember how they hated Nancy Reagan with all her Chanel wear and all?
Yeah.
What's the point of being the president's wife if I got to wear stuff from Target? You going to mute me?
Oh, my gosh. And you know she... Wait, hold on a second. Do you know she's Sharps? She's Sharps. I'm laughing so hard. She shops in Target, and they won't even leave her alone when she goes to Target.
They won't leave her alone when she goes to Target. She wears J. Crew, which is very because I even went in J. Crew. I felt, oh my God, Michelle wears J. Crew, so let me go in there and try to get a feel for the things that are a little bit more conservative. And I was there for, you know, I walked through it, and no, I'm not wearing it. It's just not going to
You're funny. All right, so I'm going to take a 10-second break, just a 10-second break so I can catch my breath, drink some water, and we'll come back, and hopefully we have another caller on the line that is going to join us in a second. Okay, hold on, everybody. We'll be right back. You're listening to Ask Kathleen. I'm your host, Kathleen Williams. I'm here with my co-host, Ronnie. She just finished her rave, and we'll be back in just a second. Don't move.
Okay, well.
Okay, we are back. You're listening to Ask Kathleen, and this is Kathleen Williams, your host. The number is 909-265-9189. If you have a question, you can call us and jump in on the air. We just had an incredible program with Stephen Jackson of RDZ Media Group, the general manager. And we are back right now. Ronnie and I are back, and we're with fabulous welcoming onto the line. Mr. Jerome Esprit is here with us tonight. Yes, welcome. Esprit met me. Jerome Esprit.
That was great. How are you, ladies, today?
Oh, we're good. Mr. Jerome, how are you?
That's good. I'm well.
Well,
I'm
you
well.
Weren't listening. You weren't listening to me, I hope.
Yes, I was. Yes, I was. And I want to say this because I have shopped at J. Crew many years ago, and sometimes I go in there. J. Crew is not the cheapest store in the world. They may have
at
some
all.
Stuff that no, not at all. So,
not at all.
So I know. Yeah. So
it's
the
not,
whole
it's,
angry.
It's so conservative. It's really, really classy, but conservative. Very conservative.
It is very very conservative, and it's plain and conservative. Like, I don't know. I think conservative is plain, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't it?
There's no frills. You know, Kathleen, there's no rhinestones on anything.
yeah, but I'm sorry. Is that Kathleen's thing, the rhinestones? Are you trying to tell us about the rhinestones? Kathleen and her fashion statement.
Something that I want to wear has got rhinestones on it tomorrow, actually, but that's all right.
talk her out of it, Ronnie. That ain't going to get it. Let the first lady be your guide. That's all we can say.
Okay.
Yeah, she dressed lovely. She really does.
No. She dressed really nice. And about the angry black woman thing, that's an impression, and that's an impression that the Republicans wanted to give you about her anyway. And so they keep trying to vilify her, but they vilify black people generally. So don't even project that on her, because it has nothing to do with her. Like, everybody wants to paint her as some control freak of a first lady. And yeah, I mean, you can make that statement about any first lady. So it's just her. They'd have to make her angry, though. That's
right.
That's the
exactly.
Yeah.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we have our political strategist on, Mr. Jerome Esprit, to shed some light on some of these topics for us. And I love it because you can even address the first lady's wardrobe. I love it. I just love
it. I try not to, mind you. That's not a strong suit. Addressing wardrobes. I try to let that go.
I love it, though. I love it. So, Jerome, do you have some news that you can share with us tonight?
Well, you know, I don't know how many shows I did this year already, maybe two, but I keep forgetting to do the new laws of 2012, so I want to share with your audience some of the new laws in different states for 2012.
Oh, okay, great.
Is that okay?
That is great. Let me...
And then we can get into some news if you want to talk about some other news stories, but just a couple of the new laws. For those who are in the... you know, there are new law toll laws from, like, New Jersey to California. So there's a bunch that took effect for 2012. And so in New Jersey, the toll increase was enacted in 2008, and it takes effectiveness. It went into effect Sunday, a couple of weeks ago. And anybody traveling the Garden State Parkway or the Jersey Turnpike, prices went up. So, for example, if you cross the Delaware Memorial Bridge north to the George Washington, your fee goes up from $9.05 to $13.85. So that was a big jump. Yeah, for those people who care in that area, in California, there's a law that bans teaching material that reflect poorly on particular religions and sexual preferences, and that went into effect also. And by the way, the opponents of that law are trying to seek an initiative to repeal it already. School sports teams, this is still in California, but school sports teams must bench athletes who sustain concussions or head injuries until they're cleared by a healthcare provider. So if you get a concussion, I can't remember what game I was watching recently, and someone had a head injury and they actually took him out and took him to the locker room. And in California, you must suspend the athlete immediately until they get looked out by a healthcare provider. Now, in Alabama, adds a requirement that employers must do a government-used E-Verify for new workers, and other states who adapted the E-Verify requirements are Louisiana, Tennessee, and South Carolina, and Georgia. So E-Verify is just a system to tell if someone is legal to work in this country. Now, countering that trend, California prohibits local government from using from requiring private employers from using E-Verify. So if you're in California, you're not required to use E-Verify. I know. Sounds contradictory, but in the conservative states, Louisiana, Tennessee, North Carolina, you know, they have this immigrant alien thing going on in those states. And so California kind of countered it by saying you're not required to run people through E-Verify. And So two more quick ones. Nevada prohibits all drivers from texting and using handheld devices. So if you go through Nevada, no texting, no handheld devices prohibited. And North Dakota is also banning drivers under 18 from using a cell phone in their car and barring all drivers from texting. You know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So that means if you have the phone in your hand, that you can't have it in your hand at all.
No, but that's only for people who are under 18. Or
okay.
Right? So if you're under 18, you can't use your cell phone at all in the car. But if you're over 18, you can't text. So all drivers can't text. But if you're 18, you can't even use your cell phone.
Okay. Wow.
Okay.
I think that's a good
And for
thing,
those
though.
People, you think, yeah. Yeah, it actually is a good law. And in Illinois, Social Security numbers, which I thought was a given, but Social Security numbers may not be printed on wristbands or outside of any file associated with products or services. So you know how you go to the hospital and they're putting your Social Security number on your cart or something? It's illegal to do in Illinois now.
They should make that illegal all over the country, but okay.
Yeah. Well, I remember in college New York State at some point made it illegal to post your grades by Social Security number. You're not supposed to use your Social Security number unless it's tax-related. So it's illegal. If somebody asks you for your Social Security number and it has nothing to do with money, give them a fake number. It's not against the law to tell somebody a fake Social Security number. Only when it comes to dealing with money and finances. Long as it's a number you can remember. Okay. Oh, I thought I'd share that one. Oh, you know what? One interesting one, though? I didn't want to go through all the laws. They were all kind of boring. But one of the laws was financial crimes. This is in Illinois. Financial crimes value between $500,000 and $1 million is now a Class 1 felony, and you will not be qualified for probation. So in financial crimes, a full value of more than $1 million will classify as a Class X felony, whatever that is. You're going to jail if you steal money in Chicago. Or in Illinois now.
and you don't qualify for what is it? You don't qualify for probation, you said?
No. Nope. No, because usually white-collar crime, you usually don't get any time for that. So.
Right.
It reminds me of the Michael Milken insider junk bond scandal stuff in the, what was it, in the late 80s. And he actually got convicted for insider trading where his boss actually stole a lot of the money. And he was in court, and they fined him something like $400 million, and he wrote them a check. Now, that is stealing. Yeah. When somebody says repay $400 million, you like, now, how much? You said four or five. When you can write them a check, you took a lot of money. So in
love
Chicago
him.
Now.
I love him.
Wow.
And honestly, I've seen his story before. He is the person who funded Intel and the fax machines and cell companies, all when he started out, and they get a percentage of the money that they make when you're a venture capitalist, when you finance them. So he had a ton of money.
Wow.
So his total damages was like, his total damages was probably something around $700-800 million. But they only, white collar crime, they don't ask you to pay the whole thing back, which is kind of interesting. So he only had to pay $400 million. And that's all he had to pay. He actually went to jail, though. I have to say, this guy did go to jail. He paid $400 million, wrote them a check on the spot, and spent maybe three years in jail, and he's not allowed to work in the financial sector anymore. And it wasn't really his fault. He was a fall guy for his boss, but he still had $400 million.
Wow.
All right, I'm sorry. Sorry to bring it down on the down note. What'd you say?
What'd you say, Ronnie?
The boss didn't treat him as badly as he could have.
Oh, well, it was the guy Ivan Bolsky, if you remember that whole scandal stuff. It was him. That guy literally used Michael Milken as the fall guy, but his boss cut a deal. It's like that when the real criminal cuts a deal and sells you out. So he cut a deal, sold out the guy who worked for him. And I'm not defending anybody.
Huh? No, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I was waiting for you to talk.
Oh, no, I was saying love of spoken word said to tell you, hey.
Tell Finesse, I said, hey. Guys, it's a conspiracy, Ronnie. I'm going to have to talk to you about this a little offline with those two.
Who was that?
They tried to railroad me on Ask Kathleen last time, so I said, wait till Ronnie gets on, and she and I going to have a little talk. Forget them. We're going solo.
Kicking me off my own show. He said Wesley Snipes paid $5 million for the taxes, and they still sent him to jail.
Sent him to jail for the duration.
That's a good point. That's a good point for distinction. Wesley Snipes' accountant didn't claim the money. So Wesley Snipes goes to jail. Michael Milken, who actually had the money, did not serve the time and paid $400 million. Now, they're not saying that wasn't the fine. Like, that wasn't like he didn't pay any taxes. He didn't claim none of that money. Like, if you could actually hide about $800 million, but Wesley Snipes goes to jail for $5 million, where it wasn't really his fault, he has an accountant, that's a problem. But our justice system is like that. I can't begin to name all of the black folks, Sammy Davis Jr., Red Fox, and Richard.
Right.
Everybody who got in trouble with the IRS, because their accountants stole money from them.
What about Jermaine Dupri? Jermaine Dupri just paid his way out.
Yeah. Yeah. And luckily, they let him. Luckily, they let him.
Yeah.
Because you gotta remember, those guys are not getting money that's not filtered through corporate. So they're getting royalties on work that they've done. They're not, you know, selling records out of the back of their car. So these things are going through systems, and so there's 1099s and W-2s and all of this stuff going through. So they're going through their accountants, and they're not following the paperwork correctly. It's not like those movie companies aren't handing those guys, like, suitcases full of money, and they're not claiming them.
Right,
this stuff is going
right.
through a system. That's a little bit different.
Unfortunate.
So, yeah. So when people normally say that about black folks, especially entertainers or athletes that, you know, they didn't want to pay their taxes and they didn't do something, technically, I don't think they're doing their own taxes. That would be my guess.
I doubt if Wesley was doing taxes. Or no, I doubt if he was going to H&R Block.
Yeah, he was like, well, y'all open on Tuesdays? Yeah, like, what is it, from 9 to what? Yeah, he could never find the time to make it to H&R Block. But, yeah, so he's responsible.
They probably wouldn't have hit that money.
Well, you can't – see, that's the thing. Like, anybody knows that if you get money from a system, like corporate, they report how much money they pay you. So that goes on their tax form, and
right.
they have your – Social Security number. So once it hits in the system, this money is unclaimed someplace after it's paid out. That's only a matter of time for the system to kick it out. It's not like you're selling oils and incense and stuff on the corner. Like you're getting like hand-to-hand, I'm sorry, hot dogs. Let me just change that.
Right.
It's not like you're selling like hot dogs and hamburgers, you know, vending. These are systems. So I think that's a little harsh for those guys.
Love of Spoken Word mentioned Sinbad and Ron Isley.
Oh God. Okay, Ron Isley case.
Is he still in
Ron
jail?
Isley was cast. Huh?
Is he still in jail?
No, Ron Isley's out.
Oh.
But Ron Isley's problem was he was casting somebody. He was casting his brother's checks. And he wasn't claiming it. So it's illegal to sign somebody else's name to cast their checks. And he wasn't claiming the money that he was casting the checks for. But you wouldn't really claim it if you cast somebody else's check, would you?
Oh, well, okay.
But then the moral of that story is it was royalty from money that they did as the Isley brothers. And so one person passed away, and the checks came, and he just never – changed it over. They never told the company to send it in this name or that one. He just cast the checks. So that's where he got himself.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So everybody likes to make an example of black folks. You know, they didn't say, well, the money probably was going to go to you anyway, so why don't you pay the taxes on it? We got the money
period,
and we don't have
right.
to pay $30,000. Yeah, we don't have to pay $30,000 a year to keep you in jail. Instead,
isn't that ridiculous?
They just like,
crazy. Yep.
Yeah.
Just crazy.
Yeah. So he was another one. Sinbad might have been. No, I would have to guess as a comedian, and I'm only saying this as a comedian. I'm not one, but because he's a comedian, is that Sinbad laughs about his IRS stuff. So Sinbad probably wouldn't pay an attorney. Like, he probably wouldn't pay nobody. He was like, I can do this. You know, cause I could hear him saying that. I ain't paying you to do all that when I can do it myself. And he probably didn't claim his. I want him to go to
probably
jail. So
right.
I'm just saying.
He's
yeah.
not going to jail, is he?
No.
Okay.
No, but they came. That his show is about him moving back in with his wife and his kids. He had to downsize his house. IRS came in and took his house. They
I
were like, we need X amount.
I saw his show a couple of times, but I didn't realize it was taxed. Yeah,
IRS came in and took his money. Now, they didn't leave him technically broke, but he had like something like a really expensive house, some $10 million. Dollar houses. He had a really expensive house, and they took it. They're like, this is our. They just seized it, really, and said, get out.
Yeah.
It was kind of one of those deals.
They love
for back
taking
taxes
people.
for back taxes.
Yeah. They'll make you sell anything. You know, I was interesting enough. I was having this conversation about someone was talking about the Newt Gingrich and the welfare stuff and him saying this is what people need to do to get off welfare and whatever his – I'm sorry, the racist Newt Gingrich. I don't like to forget that. But the problem is that welfare, the way welfare was set up – well, two things. Welfare was set up to break up families, and two, welfare money, 50% of it is administrative. The other portions of it goes to farm subsidies, and hundreds of millions of welfare money dollars go to pharmaceutical subsidies. So Bristol Myers Squibb, AstraZeneca, they get all welfare money. So welfare recipients get just a piece of what that welfare budget is. So never get the impression that welfare is breaking anybody. So with that being said, is that welfare generally says, or I'm sorry, the average welfare recipient, white female, 4 kids, $5,000 a year. But the trick is with welfare is that you have to literally, someone said to get food stamps, they asked this one person to sell their car. They were like, their car is really too expensive. You got to sell your car to get food stamps. It's like, you know, I can't get a job if I don't have a car. And, you know this in the 70s, and it reminds me of the movie Claudine. That's why I just said it, because it reminds me of Claudine.
Yeah.
where the social worker comes over and they put the bad iron away, put the good iron away and put the bad one out. Well, I like that movie. But it's kind of like that, where you couldn't have a man living in a house, so it kind of broke up families. It's like you're going to always choose to feed your kids than to keep your husband. So welfare was set up that way to keep just to keep those families kind of off balance. But it was very intentional. Welfare was never meant to actually help people that way. I'm sure they had good intentions when they created welfare, but once the I would say the Republicans got a hold of it, it became money-making. So 50% of the money on welfare allocated is administrative. It's crazy.
Wow.
You know what's interesting about that? Social Security is one of our most efficient systems. Social Security and Medicare is not that bad, but only about 3% of the money is administrative on Social Security.
That's interesting.
3% is administrative?
Mm-hmm. For Social Security, it's one of our most efficient systems.
And the other 97% is...
Is that $2 trillion surplus that we have on Social Security? We have a $2.5 trillion surplus in Social Security. Can pay for everybody for the next 25 years without breaking a sweat. The Republicans want to privatize it, by the way, because they want that $2 trillion.
Because they want the money.
They can't get it. Yeah, you can't get it unless you disband Social Security. So they've been trying to get that into Wall Street for years.
See, this ain't right.
It's not, but nobody speaks about it. It's not that it's not true. The problem is that on the Democratic side, they don't speak about it, and the Republican side don't speak about it. It's the media's problem of informing people of the truth, and they neglect that responsibility as well.
Right. Well, there you have it, everybody.
I know, I just cut into Ronnie's raid. Right, my bad. I'm not complaining. No. Good day off.
No, we're good. I just want to thank everybody for listening to Ask Kathleen tonight, and we'll be back next week, next Sunday evening. The number is 909-265-9189. We're here 7 p.m. Sunday evenings with my co-host Ronnie with Ronnie's Rave and Jerome's political strategist, Jerome Esprit of EspritNet News. Thanks, everybody. Have a great week, an incredible week, actually. Do what you are. I don't know where I was going with that. Anyway, have a great week.
All righty.
Have a great weekend, and I won't say anything so I won't be called an angry black woman. Don't
you? Ronnie and I will be taking over the show now. Thank you very much.
All right, everybody. Talk to you next time. Have a good one.